Hello, everyone. Here we are for the 10th session of our When Your Relationship Ends workshop. And this is our last class together. But I hope that it will turn out to be a great celebration of a class. And that y'all really feel great about all the hard work you've put in. So let's get started with the agenda. It's just a tiny bit different than usual. We're going to go ahead and check your answer first, get into our series of questions. Then we'll review the results for the self-assessment that y'all took. We'll dive into the presentation and discussion and then review homework, and then we'll close. You sound good?
Sounds great.
Yeah. Okay, grab your earlobe. What's going on? You feel a little bit of more levity? Mm-hmm.
Relax.
Just relax again. Good. I'm glad it's working. Did either of you have a chance to use it at all during the week?
I did a couple of times.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
How about you, Hugo? Did you have a chance to use it during the week?
Yes, I also did. I may have only used it twice, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so glad.
I could have done better.
Well, it's one of those new tools, you know?
Yeah.
You don't always remember to pull it out when you need it. And once you get used to it, though, it'll become more natural.
Yeah.
Well, the next one, of course, is the updates and how was your week. Who would like to start off with that?
Well, I will. I had a pretty good week. I really benefited from taking the FDAS again. I thought that was really helpful. In some ways, I recognize that I have grown a lot. In other categories, I recognize that I still have a lot of work to do yet. But I didn't get discouraged by that because I feel like overall, I've made a lot of progress in the last 10 weeks. So, but I enjoyed doing that again. I thought that was really helpful. I didn't remember my first scores though because I didn't write them down. So.
Didn't you get the ones I sent to you?
The first time I took it?
Uh-huh.
I don't think so. At least I didn't see them.
Okay. I'll resend them to you. I'll make a note.
Okay. Thank you.
Because your scores were very different, Verlaine.
Were they?
Yes. You did really some good work.
I could tell, I remembered that they... So I was answering it different, but I didn't know what my extra score. Yes, if you could send the original ones, that would be appreciated.
Yes. Did you have a chance to read chapter 17?
I didn't finish it. No, I didn't. I didn't have a lot of comment on that because I just didn't have a chance to finish it. But I will.
Okay, I know you will. You feel so good about doing all the homework. I can tell your dad about that.
Yeah.
Well, with your good week, are there any highlights that you want to share with us, or just leave it at it was a good week?
I don't think there's any highlights. It was just a good week.
Oh, good.
Overall.
Very good. What else would you like to add before we turn it over to Hugo?
Well, I think the one area I need to keep working at is the anger I feel toward my ex in the fact that she's dating somebody else. I still have a hard time with that. That's probably the one area where I just haven't let go completely. But I recognize that. But, you know, I'm moving in the right direction.
Yes, you definitely are. For the results of the FDAS, did you look at the anger section and find anything there that might be helpful?
Well, I just acknowledged that I was still angry, I think. You know, I knew that was still an area that I needed to address more.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not surprising that anger might be kind of lingering. But maybe with some of the stuff we'll talk about tonight, you might find some other ways to let it go. Because the theme for tonight is letting it go.
Oh, it is? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Both of my dogs that aren't hurt are definitely chiming in on the conversation. Sorry about that. Hugo, would you like to tell us about your week?
Yes, I actually had a good week because I went back to work and I'm feeling better after the operation I had. So, but I'm still recovering. I still need to be on light duty until end of April. You know, I can't pick up heavy. I'm not allowed to pick up heavy. But still, I'm better. That was good for me, and then also I think the survey that I did, I actually enjoyed doing it because I saw that I've made progress, you know, and I believe I'm out of the woods, although I'm not where I want to be yet. Obviously there's I'm a work in progress, and but I think I'm on the right path. And I think I sent you an email, Karen, and I said I'm not like in ICU anymore, you know, I'm like released from the hospital, but I still have, you know, the wound with the stitches and all that, but I'm busy on my way to recovery, and to me that's good. You know, where previously I was like, I didn't know what to do, you know, I was like going crazy, but now maybe the tornado will hit me again, but it's a long time since that's happened, and yeah, I'm just so glad that I could go through this and, you know, manage to make this period as short as possible. So yes, like I say, I don't think I'm totally over it, but I'm happy that I've done the right things, and that you guided me, and I had Verlaine along the way, you know, also to, you know, as partner in crime, so it made it a lot better for me. So I'm actually very happy at this stage. What else was there? Yes, the book after chapter 17. I actually enjoyed chapter 17 very much. I don't know if you wanted to save the best for last, but it was a very good chapter for me. I really enjoyed it. Sorry, Karen?
I was just going to ask you, what did you find so interesting about it?
No, it was basically what you've discussed with the previous week, But it was very interesting to me. I mean, the fact that people are not so open about sex and sexuality and, you know, talking about it, and it seems that once we meet each other, it's something that we sort of hide away and don't really discuss. But actually, it's something that needs to be discussed. There's nothing shameful about it, and it's actually a good thing. What did my one friend say? What did he say? He's two of the three good things that the good Lord made for us is eat and drink, you know. But we don't talk about the third one. that sort of, I think, says a lot of it, because it's something that, you know, couples discuss, and it's something to enjoy, and it's something beautiful, you know, between two people loving each other. So, I mean, I would have loved that relationship now, but I'm not. So, I would like to go to get back there in such a relationship, and if possible, well, I know it will be, but you know, I just need to find the right person, and but it's not the right time now for me. I need and that's what I realized when I took the survey. You know, I also, there's still work for me that I need to do. I need to, there's still a little forgiveness, letting go, a little bit of anger, those kind of things. So I still need, you know, there's some work that I need to do. So here we are. I think we'd like to know from you, how do we go from here? There are things I'd like to know specifically. Are there more books that we can read? What's your advice for us in terms of that?
Well, there are always more books to read. One of my favorite books on forgiveness is called, I think it's called The Four Questions. Let me see if I can find it quickly on my bookshelf.
I think I've heard of that book before. Something like that.
Yeah, it's Byron Katie is the author.
Is that one of the books that's in one of your favorite reads, you say? I think I saw that on your...
It was not. And those aren't necessarily on my webpage, no. And then if you're talking about the newsletter that went out today, that's not a list of my favorite reads. That's another woman who had put them together. But the ones I had read were good. So that's why I felt okay sending it out. Well, no, I'm not seeing it on my bookshelf. But I do know the author is Byron Katie, BYRONKATY.
Yes. And the book's name?
I think it's The Four Questions.
The Four Questions.
I think so. You know, actually, let me go ahead and look online here real quick. That way I can be sure and say this will be on my bookshelf. Someday I'll get my books organized better than they are right now.
Is it in your own library there?
Loving What Is, The Four Questions That Can Change Your Life.
Okay. Okay.
And what's the... K-A-T-I-E, Katie?
Mm-hmm. That's her last name. Her first name is Byron. B-Y-R-O-N.
And what's the first part of the title?
Loving What Is. Four questions that can change your life. It's an intense book, and it really requires you to dig deep to answer the full question, but it's good stuff.
Okay.
And she came up with the questions based on her personal experiences, just being horribly miserable and frustrated and angry, and she just had an epiphany.
Do you remember the four questions?
Not off the top of my head, no.
I feel like I've read this book before.
You may have. It was a pretty popular book. You know, it's been staring at me the whole time. It was a black case, and everything else was white, and I just kept glancing over it. Okay, let's see if I can find the questions here real quick.
That's okay if you can't.
Here, I've got them right now.
Oh.
The first question is it true? The second question is, can I absolutely know it's the truth? The third question is, how do I react when I think that thought? The fourth is, who would I be without the thought? And then with the fourth one, you also turn it around, then find three genuine specific examples of how the turnaround is true in your life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Hugo, did you get disconnected?
Yeah, I just disconnected quickly. And then I called again. Yeah.
Did you hear the questions, or do you want me to repeat them?
Please, can you repeat them quickly? I missed it. I'll come back. Yeah.
The first, is it true? Number two, can I absolutely know that it's true? The third one is, how do I react when I think that thought?
Okay.
Number four is, who would I be without the thought? And
okay.
then you turn whatever the original thought was around, then find three genuine specific examples of how the turnaround is true in your life.
Okay.
But there's a lot more language around it, you know, getting great examples of how to do it and everything.
Yeah.
In the book.
Okay.
That's definitely a good one.
Yeah. No, for sure. One of the things that just flashed through my mind now is, you see, regarding chapter 17 is, this whole thing about the eighth scare and all that, I think that's one of the things that, you know, it I would say potentially hold me back from having sexual relationships and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's something that one needs to discuss, and I think it's not obviously not the first question I'd ask someone. Do you have an STD or something like that?
People deal with asking that question too. You know, sometimes they'll go and get tested together, before they actually have intercourse for the first time.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just agree to have intercourse with a condom, and so they do get tested.
Okay.
Are you talking about tested for HIV? Is that what you're talking about, or
HIV and any other?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't
get it all tested.
Yeah, sure. Right.
And you know, honestly, Caroline, that's been one of the best things I could think about with being a lesbian.
Yeah. Not a great deal of risk.
Yeah. Yeah, golly, you guys got that part good.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, these days you have to discuss these things, and
sure,
I mean, yeah. So
yeah, I think that's one of the more important things to know, that you have to be able to discuss. Because if you can't discuss that, really, what kind of a relationship can you have with this person?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, and I mean, the sexual part of a relationship is important, although it's maybe for some people it's the first move, but to me it will be the last move, you know. And also, a close relationship. I'm not talking about just a friendship and so on, but because I don't believe in sleeping with my friends and things like that. But with a committed partner, your marriage partner, I think it's very difficult to have such a relationship without the sexual relationship. You know, I think it's not going to work. So you have to talk about these things. It's very important.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, what else would you like to discuss before we move on to the next session?
No, I think I'm done with what's on my mind. I don't know if Alan, if there's anything on your side.
No, I think I'm fine.
Okay. Well, then, let's unveil the fabulous results and the changes that have been made overall. Now, you see I've got all seven categories there, you know, including the overall adjustment to the end of the marriage. They're the same categories as the bars, you know, on your output, your results. And the average tree is the first test that everyone took. And everyone took that. So there are four different tests included in this one. And then the average post is just you two. The two of you were the only ones that took this one.
Mm. We did so good, Hugo.
Did you? You guys did really, really, really good. When I look at your befores and afters, I was just so thrilled that I was finally so big when I saw them. Hugo, you did get your pre-test, didn't you? That one showed up for you? Oh, he dropped off again.
Yeah, I think he's gone.
Oh, shoot. Hopefully we'll be able to get back on. I didn't hear any weather in the background there. I know the very first time I talked to him, they were having a great big thunderstorm. I could hear that.
Oh, they were? Oh.
Yeah. So I wonder if it's just bad connection. At least he sounds better. He's not as echoey or staticky as he was last week.
Not as he was last week.
Because to me, the work that y'all did is so tremendous. It's really, really amazing. I don't know, could you hear that cat in the background, Brian?
No. Is that yours?
No. My eldest stepson is visiting, and he brought his cat and his bunny. And his cat is very talkative. He calls for Anthony, his dad, and he won't come downstairs very often. So he hollers upstairs, downstairs, at all of us.
I don't hear him.
Okay. This is not good. It looks like he's still viewing my screen.
It looks like you what?
You know how I share my screen?
Oh, yeah.
It looks like he's still on. Yeah, he is. He's still on.
So he's on the internet.
Yeah. I do. Let me pull up the site. Tiffany and I talked the very first time about this site. And I can text him in Skype. If he's on. Well, Ryan, what are we supposed to do here, girl?
I don't know what we're supposed to do.
I would think he is.
Yeah, I would did, but was very nothing. Not even a satellite call.
No, and I don't see anything popping up on my conference manager. Because I can monitor the conference to see, you know, when people come in, and I keep it on a different screen than the one I use for showing the, you know, the presentation material.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even see them showing up there. I'll give them just another minute, and then we'll go ahead and continue on. I really need him here for this class.
I know.
If you've looked ahead, you know that there's a really fun piece, you know, where you guys interact with each other in a little bit different way.
Right, right.
Okay, I guess we're going to have to get started again. Okay. I think it was how much we had. Yeah, okay. All right. So, on to this is letting go. And I got to tell you, I love this image. Did you get it in color? Can you look at the image in color?
Mm-hmm.
Look for this next slide, number 7.
Yeah.
That's the kind of blue skies we've been having recently. So it's just that bright, brilliant blue. And I really like this because, you know, so often, you know, we hold on tight like we would to balloons when we were a kid, or like kids hold on to balloons, I guess I should say. And sometimes we don't need the stuff that we're hanging on to anymore. And that's really the case with divorce, because a lot of times we hang on to what's familiar, even though it's painful. And it's not necessarily easy to let go. It takes a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And so some of the things you let go of in the course of healing from your divorce are, you know, the emotional connection to your ex, even though there's still one there, you know, with the anger and all that you've got coming up for a land. And I'm sure that once Hugo's wife finally moves out of the house at the end of this month, that he'll probably visit some emotions about her finally being out that he hasn't been able to necessarily explore so much before. For me, when I got divorced, I had huge fears about the future. And I didn't necessarily know how to let go of them. I was really hanging on tight to them. And then, of course, I also had fears about myself and fears about sexually transmitted diseases and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
It was just really a frightening, frightening time for me. So when you look at this list of the three different kind of categories that I've got here that are things that you let go of with divorce, how would you rank them as to which ones you still have to work on?
Oh, the emotional connection.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of fears about the future.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should. Something that probably would think I could. But I just don't. You know, I just can't afford to do that. Fears about myself. You know, I did have that for first, you know, my fears about how am I going to make it, you know, how am I going to be, you know, I don't, it's the emotional connection still, probably the biggest thing. I just try to do it every day. You know, just try to let go every day. You know, I can't rush it. I can't move it faster than it can move. But I also don't want to get stuck.
No, getting stuck is not a pleasant experience.
Okay.
And, you know, I think you've been working so hard, and you got so much additional knowledge that you probably won't get stuck. You've gone so far in such a short period of time. And you'll see that when I send you your previous results again.
I don't feel as stuck as I was.
Yeah. Well, so, because I know we started off with saying letting go is hard work, and we kind of dove into, well, what do you still have to let go of, I thought it would be fun to kind of identify things that you know you have let go of during the course of the workshop. What's something that you know you've let go of since we've been meeting?
Well, I think I have let go of a lot of the loneliness. I feel like I'm more at home with myself, you know, and I can be alone, but I'm not lonely. So I've let go of that. I'm trying to get to the building blocks in my book.
Oh, yeah, that's where the beginning.
Yeah. I think I'm more and more letting go of the denial. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you just got really quiet.
Oh, that's okay. I feel like I'm letting go more and more of the denial and the loneliness and the grief. I noticed the other day I haven't cried for a while. You know, I have these moments when I feel sad, you know, and I feel just sad that things didn't work out, you know, but I'm not crying.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Roland, it's huge.
Yeah. What's your time?
Hello.
Here you go. Hello.
I'm back.
Everything okay?
Yes, everything's okay. I ran out of Skype credits, so I had to buy, you know, I have to...
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
So I quickly had to buy some more. So I just flashed my MasterCard, so yes, so yeah, I'm back again. Okay.
Well, Verlan was just telling me about some of the things that she's let go of during the workshop. And
okay. She's
identified some really big things. She's let go of a lot of the loneliness because she feels more at home with herself. And she can be alone and not feel lonely, which is huge.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah. And then she said that she's let go of more and more of the denial that she has.
Yeah.
And then listen to this one because it is huge. She's letting go of the grief and realize that she hasn't cried for a while. She'll feel sad, but she hasn't cried. Isn't that fabulous? Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's progress.
I like that.
Yeah.
So, what else, Verlan, do you feel like you've let go of?
Well, any fear of the future that I did have, or fear of my abilities to do things as a single person, you know, I've let go of that because I've accomplished a lot of things, and I enjoy being independent. You know?
Who thought you would have said that?
I don't know.
Wow.
Wow. That's all I can think of.
Well, that's plenty. I just want to make sure I don't cut you off.
No, no.
Well, Hugo, what do you feel like you've let go of during the course of the workshop?
Well, I think one of the big things I let go is my fear. My fear of the future, I think it was more something that was, you know, it's a fear of the unknown. You know, I think I said before, I'm like in uncharted waters now, but now it seems to me like I am not anymore like in uncharted waters, because I think this whole course gave me, you know, and yourself and the man on the side, I think I've got a realistic view of how to progress through this whole thing, you know. I've got like a roadmap, and that helps because I can see where I'm coming from, and I can see where I'm going to, you know. And it's not like unknown anymore. It's knowing that I have to go through this, and that it's normal, and all that. So I think the fear to me, I think I have a lot less fear, and I think also in the beginning, maybe there was some hope for me that I could, I don't know, maybe
say
by that
again. Say that again, Hugo, I didn't get that.
Yeah, I think in the beginning of this process, I was thinking that maybe by some miracle my ex would reconcile, and I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's realistic to think that's going to happen. And I've let her go. So I, at this stage, I'm not even, you know, she can do whatever she wants. It's not bothering me anymore, you know. Well, I'm probably not 100%, but I'm not getting upset anymore, you know, if she goes out or stays out late or does whatever, you know. I have taken it as the default. How can I say, the default position to grow from, or to improve from, you know. So at this stage, it's a huge, how can I say, variable in my equation anymore. So, yeah, those things don't bother me anymore. And those were things that was bothering me at the start.
And like I said, fear of teachers. What else is there? I think the forgiveness. I think I've let go of a lot of the feelings of. Obviously, when you think about these things, you feel hatred and you feel. Hello? There's a lot of scratching on there.
Yeah, there was.
You feel lots of anger and hatred and things like that. And I think that has subsided a lot. Because I've decided to forgive, and I've realized it's a process. It's not going to happen, one off. So I've made my peace with it that I'm still angry, and I don't agree with what she's doing and all these things. But I've also made my peace that I'm probably not going to feel. Like 100% at the push of a button, it's not going to happen. So I've made my peace that this thing is going to take some time, and that I need to work through it. It's not going to just happen overnight. Although, however much I would like to have it like that, because I don't like to waste my time, but I think. It's not wasting my time because if I, I cannot suppress things, I don't want to do that or be in denial or things like that because it will only catch me later on. So I need to properly work through this and come through this whole thing as a whole and as a healed person, not or sane person, because I don't want this to happen to me again. It's not a nice thing to happen to anybody. I think all of us can agree on that. What else is there? I think, I think that's basically it. I think I agree with the denial thing. There was maybe some denial in me as well, so I don't think you need to mention that again, but definitely I did have some denial in myself, and, and as I said before, I'm not really a crowd person. I like a few friends around me, and that's fine. So I can also be on my own, and not feel lonely. So that to me that's not really a problem. What else? The one thing I realized during this whole process is this issue about the masks, and I think it's going forward it's very important to be true to yourself, and to be yourself. I mean. There's nobody else like me on this world, and there's never going to be somebody else like me, So therefore, each of us are special. We are unique. So if somebody doesn't like you for what you are, the hell with them, there might be there's somebody else that will like me. So, and they can go. So
very pragmatic, very true.
So I'm going to let go of that mask. I'm not going to try and do that anymore. Try and please people, because they have issues or whatever. I'm not going to tiptoe around them, And if they have a problem, they have a problem. I'm not going to make their view of life or myself or themselves influence me to act in a different manner. I'm going to enjoy my life. Hey, I must actually share this thing with you. Just when I went into the hospital, remember, I saw something there on one of the walls on the hospital, and it was something that Mother Teresa wrote, and it's about life. It was actually very good. I must actually forward the email that to you guys. I took a photograph, but I was so shaky that it was a little bit blurry, but at least I could make out the words, so I wrote it down afterwards. But anyway, I'll share that with you later on. Yeah, sorry, I distracted the whole thing. Yeah, and look, I still need to let go of, there's still some grief that I need to go through, but I think I need to leave that behind, you know, the old life and all that. But like we said before, you cannot just shut it down or push it back or, you know, cover it up. You can't do that because it's going to catch me later on. So I realize that I need to move through that. And a lot of these things, you cannot just simply, you know, leave behind or let go. You have to work through it, right? And which is good.
Well, you know what I find very fascinating, and once you all get through the book Loving What Is, you'll see that maybe sometimes it's easier than you think. Because we have such a powerful mind that when we set it on the right direction, which is what I've seen both of y'all consistently do, you know, throughout the course of this workshop, that it becomes easier to move forward towards what we want and away from what we don't want anymore. So, is it a process? Yes. But sometimes it can almost seem like you short-circuit the process by really focusing in on what it is that you do want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I can agree with that, Karen, because I think, you know, this process, you know, I think both of me and Verlaine will agree if we haven't done this now, I think we wouldn't have progressed much farther down the road, you know, from, let's say, February until now, if we haven't gone through this with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll agree with it. So, I don't think it's, let's not call it short-circuiting, it's doing the right things, you know, following the shortest path, instead of, you know, going via Afghanistan. You know, we can take the highway. You know, that sort of thing.
The more direct route.
Yes, we take the highway, the fastest route. So, I think that's what it's all. You know, it's not something that we can bypass. You know, and as much as we all like, we cannot bypass it, but we can take the shortest path, and that's what we're doing now.
Yeah. And that's somebody who is out of denial, who just said that.
Okay.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's another thought-provoking question. Both of you have let go of quite a few things over these 10 weeks. And I'm wondering, what have you noticed that you gained as a result of letting go?
Mm-hmm.
Just an inner peace, you know. or a more peacefulness. You know, it's maybe not complete, but, you know, moving toward just, you know, an acceptance. I mean, that's kind of...
Yeah, and confidence.
Confidence, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with the inner peace. That's a lot, definitely. Especially, you know, like I say, I don't know if it's like with you also like that, Verlander. The tornadoes thing with me was very bad, at first. But now, to me, it's subsided and it's sort of less, you know, when it happens, it's less serious, that sort of thing. You also find that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that goes with you feel less anxious, all this, and it comes with a peace, the peacefulness and inner peace. I agree with that. And also, I think the other thing is we get more hope for the future, Karen.
That's a good one.
There's more hope for the future. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think the other thing I've gained by letting go is I've reduced the sense of panic and anxiety. You know.
Yes.
I don't panic. I don't feel anxious.
Yes.
Yeah. How are you sleeping? Are you sleeping any different now?
On Thursday night, not, but the rest of the week, I sleep very well.
There's this one night that's really horrible for sleeping. has your sleep gotten better outside of Thursday night since you started letting go of some of this stuff?
It has. It definitely has. You know, at the start, I would have had, you know, this tight knot in my stomach and all that. But now that's all gone. And I would wake up at night feeling, you know, my stomach muscles cramped and things like that. But now that's all gone. I don't have that anymore. And it's all, I think it has to do with fear and, you know, because it's a symptom of what your subconscious is really thinking, right? And and then because of that you have all these symptoms and you cannot sleep because you are worried and all these kind of things. But to me, I sleep a lot better. It's a lot better.
How about you, Verlander, outside of Thursday night?
I really didn't have a lot of interruption of my sleep even beforehand, but what is it when you dream of going down into water? Is that the subconscious?
I don't know what the symbolism of that is.
Oh, okay. Because last night I had dreams about diving into a pool of water and going way down, you know. And, it was... I don't know what it was about. Anyway, that's kind of off the topic.
Well, but, let me see if I can find it here for us real quick. Diving, meaning of dreams with diver. Okay, let me see what this is. Diver diving. Sometimes in life, you just have to take the plunge. Have you heard that term or that phrase? The word plunge usually isn't used outside of the toilet anymore to that phrase. Well, it means that sometimes in life, as scary as something might be, you just need to jump in head on because it is the only way you'll get anything done. This is probably the truth and makes the most sense for you. If you have a dream in which you see a diver diving board, or diving water, they can all relate back to this concept. If you have a dream in which you are a diver, then this means that you have got a big decision coming up that you are going to have to make on your own. It might seem tough now, but what the dream is trying to tell you to do is to just go for it.
Okay.
Wow. So, that's pretty interesting.
That is pretty interesting.
Wow, so less diving dreams, we'll say. Or are they still coming?
No, they're still coming.
They are still coming.
I think one of the things that I have more dreams, not necessarily bad ones, you know, but dreams to ponder that, you know, they're trying to tell me things.
Yeah. Well, all I did to get that was just Googled the phrase, what does it mean?
Okay.
What do dreams about diving down into water mean?
Okay.
It could be fun to play. That's a vivid dreams like that.
Good.
So, I'm wondering how your energy level is since the beginning of the class.
Mine's a lot better. I seem to get a lot more things done. And my mind is a lot less distracted, and you know, I can think more clearly and straight, and you know, I can plan things and execute and get things done. So I'm a lot better in that regard.
How about you, Ryan?
I am a lot less depressed and a lot less anxious. I don't know about the energy level. I guess that kind of goes along with the depression and stuff. But I know that, you know, like, I don't shake all the time anymore.
Oh,
you know?
Wow, yeah.
My kids used to say to me, Mom, your hands are shaking. They say it all the time, your hands are shaking. What's wrong? You seem to be shaking. And I'm not doing that anymore. Except when I drink too much coffee. That helps.
I'm wondering, too, if along with the peacefulness, if there's a growing sense of happiness that you guys have gained as you've let more stuff go.
Yeah. Happiness quite yet, but I think it's coming.
I'm quite happy with my progress, and I think once one can never be, how can I say, content with where you are. Now, there's always, how can I say, room for improvement. But I'm happy with the progress, and I'm happy that I'm on the right, you know, I can see this is working for me. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I think that this list of 11 things is tremendous. I mean, it's a huge reason to celebrate all the hard work, because these are real things. Your life has really changed in this way on a day-by-day basis.
Yeah. Yeah. One guy actually said that, you know, going through something like this is actually one of the worst experiences in life. And I think we need to realize that. And once it's going better, we know we can go through this. We can go out on the other side. Just this week here in my own town, there was a guy that killed himself because his girlfriend left him. So
oh.
I thought, my poor friend, I just thought, my poor friend, I, you know, my heart goes out to you, but, you know, this is not, you know, there's so much, and that's why I just sent this, this Mother Teresa thing to both of you. I hope you've received it, but so I you know, and what she says there is, life is a battle. It's you know, it's not all good, and there are things that we need to, it's a challenge, and it's a fight, and all these kind of things. But there's beauty as well, and all these kind of things, and we need to appreciate that. But the problem is when one of these things gets so big in our life that it becomes our life, then, I just felt so sorry for the guy that, you know, it happens to, but, and I just realized how fortunate I am to have made the progress that I've done, you know, up to now.
You know, you guys have probably guessed, my divorce was a very transformative experience for me. And because it was so transformative personally, I couldn't stand the thought of people getting stuck in the misery of it. And that's why I do what I do now. You know, and it breaks my heart to hear stories, you know, about people who are so grief-stricken by the end of a relationship that they think that their life isn't worth living. Because it's really not worth living. It's just different.
It's a lie that you start believing. Yeah? And if you believe that lie, it's going to end your life. And that is bad. Yeah?
Well, let's change it back to more positive thoughts about how great you guys are doing.
All right.
Yeah, because I really want you guys to bask in the progress that you've made. Okay. And part of the way that I'd like to do that is through some acknowledgement. And what we're going to do for this acknowledgement is Hugo gets to go first. And what that means is Hugo has to listen.
Okay.
And Verlaine and I will each pay you a compliment regarding something you've learned about or observed about you during the course of the workshop. And Hugo, as you're listening, I want you to listen very carefully to what we say to you. And really hear the compliment that we're paying to you. And you can respond with something like, thank you, or I feel good to hear you say that, or I didn't know that about myself. But if we hear anything that sounds like you're not accepting the compliment, we'll invite you to try responding again so that you can really take it in.
Okay.
So, Verlaine, would you like to go first, or would you like for me to go first?
No, I'll be happy to go first.
Cool.
It's easy to give compliments and acknowledgments to you, though, because you're such a great guy. I most thing that I appreciate about you, Hugo, is your insight into things. You have a tremendous insight into this process and how you have gone through it. And you have a tremendous way of expressing. You've got to have a great way with words, so you can so you so beautifully express the insights that you have, and they have really helped me a great deal. Things that you said, maybe you don't even know you said them, but it's been very important to me. So, thank you for your insights and for your ways of expressing them to me.
Well, thanks for that, Milan. I didn't realize that. But, yeah, thanks for that. Thanks for highlighting it.
Excellent. Excellent. I think you really heard her. If you go, that was great. And the compliment I would like to pay you, Hugo, is that your determination to move forward with your life, to let what's happened in the past be in the past, is inspiring. You process very eloquently when you have class, you know, your thoughts and the transitions that you've gone through, you know, outside of class and inside of class. And that enriches the experience tremendously, not only for Verlaine, you know, who's in class here, but for Judy and Tom also, because they're getting to hear things, not just from, you know, my perspective, right? It's been a while since I've been through this, but from someone who's live and in person and struggling right now. It's really wonderful to have you do that. That work so naked, meaning without a mask. I don't know what you're wearing now, and I'm not really referring to that.
It's cold, yeah, I can't. It's a bit cold, yeah, I can't be without clothes. But okay, sorry. I'll see that later.
That's good. I know, some people like to sleep in the nude all the time. I just, okay, whatever. And I know you're just waking up in the middle of the night to be online with us. But yeah, and your sense of humor makes it all work well, too. So thank you so much for participating so fully in the workshop.
Well, thanks so much, Karen. I appreciate what you've... Yeah, thanks for highlighting that to me, and one or two things that I also didn't realize that I'm capable of, but thanks for that.
So, Hugo, what was it like to hear those things about you? Were you squirming at all, or was it just like basking in goodness?
No, it was more like basking in goodness. I like that.
Excellent. Good. Well, are you ready for Verlaine's turn?
Ready. I'm listening.
Okay. Verlaine, you have the same rules.
Okay.
You have to sit and listen.
All right.
Yeah. Hugo, would you like to go first, or would you prefer I would?
No, that's fine. I would like to go first. Yes, Verlaine, what I really enjoyed about you is that, you know, I have my viewpoint, and I see things in a certain way, but you also have yours, and I really enjoyed your viewpoint. And the way that you could make things practical, like, you know, looking in yourself in the mirror, and when you have tears in your eyes and experiencing your emotions by looking in the mirror, I never even dreamt about that. But to me, that was very powerful, and I really enjoyed going through this with you, and going forward, I'd like to still have contact with you,
you know, because to me you're like my partner in crime here. and I like going through this with you, you know. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed this process going through with you. It made it worthwhile, and if I was alone, I think it would have been nowhere as enriching to me as it was with having you by my side. I really enjoyed you.
Thank you.
Hello?
I'm here.
Please.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Partners in crime. We're partners in success.
Yeah.
Partners in growth. So thank you so much.
There you go. Brilliant. One of the most beautiful things that I saw, that I've seen about you, is your ability to thoughtfully process and then share the truth of your emotions. I don't know any other word besides just kind of a blossoming as you become more and more you and shedding, I guess, the protective cocoon that you were in. And to hear, you know, week after week that your language became more positive and more hopeful, and the tone of your voice went from the pain and the anguish and the frustration of being where you were to now one that's sleepy but still much happier than you were at the very beginning. It shows that you've got the same determination, right, that Hugo has. It just manifests itself in a little bit softer way than Hugo's does. And you got the same desire for thoroughness and completing everything that's set in front of you, because there ain't no way you're staying stuck. And that is incredibly admirable.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, and Renan, I just want to say something else. You also have a very good ability to verbalize your emotions in such a way that, you know, we can all learn from that, and I really appreciate that from you.
My emotions are kind of right out there.
Yeah. And that's one of the beautiful things about you, just one of them. So how did it feel to hear these things about yourself, really?
So affirming, you know, so affirming and so hopeful, you know. It's always good to know that other people, you know, that you two are there, you know, to support and encourage and, you know, back me up and, you know, walk through this journey. I so appreciate it.
Well, you know what's going to be extra wonderful about all the stuff that you both just heard is that it was recorded. And we started with this section at about an hour and 15 minutes in. So anytime you want to go back and remind yourself of how wonderful we think you are, all you have to do is listen to the recording.
That's true.
That's good. Karen, I just want to chip in here. That's one of the questions I had. If the recordings of these sessions, can we have until when do we have access to them? Because I haven't listened to all of them again, but in future maybe I'd want to go through one or two of them again.
I don't plan on taking the website down for a while.
Okay.
I still have one from last year that I haven't taken down.
Okay.
As long as I have the space, you know, on my website, they'll be there for you.
Okay. Now, that is just a question I thought I want to ask you, you know, but I forgot about to ask you. Until now.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Now, I'm hopeful that after a couple of years, you won't have any need to listen to them, except for maybe this one.
No, for sure. No, for sure. I was thinking about 6 months or so, but okay. That's fine. Obviously, after years down the line, I probably don't need this stuff.
Yeah, we'll just snip out the part where we paid you compliments and save that.
Okay.
Well, and now, if you don't mind, I'd like to have a little bit of feedback on the workshop itself. So, what did you each like best about the workshop?
I like the fact that I could open up and feel safe, and you know, I didn't have any fear to discuss any problems I had with both you or Willem or Tom at the start or whoever. So I think that to me that's very important is to feel safe and be able to discuss these things, because if you're not going to open up, you know, it's like a festering wound that you don't, you know, you don't remove the cause of the problem. And you know, if you don't remove the cause of the problem or speak about it or whatever, you know, it's still going to fester the whole time. So to me, it was very important to be able to discuss anything. You know, there's no taboos here. We could discuss anything with you, and I could discuss anything with you and Verlaine the whole time. No problem.
Excellent.
You know? I really enjoyed it. I felt safe the whole time. I didn't have any... I didn't feel any need to wear a mask. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you.
I need to echo that. I would perfectly agree that it was a very comfortable atmosphere and one that I felt at ease in sharing. The other thing I liked is that it was well organized. You know, the slides and just everything about it was well organized, and I appreciated that. I felt like you were an excellent leader, Karen, in guiding us through this. And I knew you were well prepared and well organized, and that, you know, I could. It's like a captain of a ship or something. You know, I'm on the ship and I could trust that I was going to be taken where I needed to go.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. That was very beautifully said. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I can just also echo that. I feel exactly the same. You've gone through the storm. to the stormy seas and with other people and us before us. So I had lots of confidence in you from the start. So I think, yeah, like the Lance is well organized and you know where you're going. And something else is the book. The book was really very good. You know, very worthwhile. You can see the guys that wrote it, you know, have lots of experience and they know what they're talking about, and they also know how to get you through this process. And really, what I enjoyed is these sessions that we had talking to each other. You know, I really like talking to Valen and yourself. Because that's how we work through these things, and I also enjoyed the homework, albeit the books, the reading the book or doing something, for, you know. But I think, you know, at the beginning, I think it's actually a good thing. Maybe it's a recommendation from my side. The homework is actually very good, eh? Because it keeps your mind off these, you know, these useless thoughts that you think. So, I think if you give people more homework at the start, they will work through this thing faster. That's what I think. That might be wrong. But but not too much.
Yeah. You know, and honestly, that's kind of a hard balance to hit because people come into the workshop at the beginning in such different states that just a little bit of homework that I do give can feel overwhelming.
Yeah, that's true. Until you realize
really
it was...
Maybe
what
I should
it
give... I'm sorry,
No, I was just laughing.
Well, I wonder if maybe I should give extra credit homework. Generally, people who want more can do more.
Something I was thinking about, you know, while I was doing the homework is that, you know, we're doing this homework, but actually I'm not thinking about my situation so much, and it actually did work. But as you do the homework, you see what happens is your subconscious starts thinking, and it sets you on the right path. You see, you start seeing the truth, and subconsciously it all happens, and then, you know, you progress because the cycles in your subconscious get less and less. It's just your computer is not so hung up on this virus that you've had anymore, you know, and slowly killing the virus. So, and you get on the right path, okay?
Yeah. Perfect. Well, then, I have to ask the opposite question, too. What did you dislike the most about the workshop?
Well, the only thing I can think of is that it went till 10 o'clock. But that's just my hang-up, you know. I can feel myself every week. I'm really into it for the first hour, maybe 15 minutes, and then I begin to fade, and it's harder for me to focus. But but that's just me. and not much, you know, when we're on different time zones and stuff, you know. I don't know how you've done it, Hugo. Getting up in the middle of the night, I would literally be physically sick trying to do that. But anyhow, that was my only thing I disliked.
For me, I like my sleep, But if I have to do something, I'll do it. And this is something I have to do. So I'm not going to complain about the hours too much. It's uncomfortable, but I'll do it. You know,
mm-hmm.
To me, it's important enough. I'll do whatever it takes, you know,
mm-hmm.
just to get away from where I was, to, you know, to feel better. And I must say, yeah, obviously I cannot just disagree with Verlaine. I think the hours was probably not the most comfortable thing, but I had to do this. There's no question about it.
One of the things that previous classes have said that they don't like is not knowing what each other looks like.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Because we know what you look like, but we don't know what each other looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you think knowing what each other looks like would change the class experience for you?
I don't know if it should, but yeah, it would have been nice to put a face with a voice, you know, that sort of thing. I would think, but the experience still, I think, would still be the same for me. Look, obviously, I think having a class and having all the people inside one room, I think that's the ultimate experience. Yeah. But you can't. I mean, we're not in that game here. It would have been nice to see the faces and all that. And I mean, I would have liked to speak to both of you like person to person. And simply not possible. I mean, I'm sitting on the other side of the world, yeah, and different time zones and all that, so it's simply not possible. Well, obviously, if I can Skype, I don't know, we can do the Skype things these days, but it all brings another layer of complexity and problems as well, you know, if you try and do all that. So, So I think what you've done here is quite marvelous, because otherwise I don't know who I would have gone through if I couldn't manage to call you guys, you know, on a Thursday evening and, you know, and share all my issues and problems with you guys. I don't know what I would have done. You know, I probably would have gone to a shrink or somebody else, but I don't know if I would have done made the same progress or whatnot, even if I've seen somebody eye to eye, you know.
Yeah.
Because I did go to counselors and all these kind of people, and that is, I mean, they just, they don't give you the best way forward. To me, this is the best process of getting out of your, you know, where you were stuck, and getting out of it going forward.
Good. Yeah, you know, I have to agree with you that the technology isn't quite where I'd like to be, to have, you know, the visual kind of webinar conference and just on the phone. But I think over the next couple of years we're going to get there, and so I'll be able to change that to have more of a sense of being all in the same room than what we are right now.
Yeah.
You know. vacation a little bit of time. I'm just thankful that we can do what we can do now.
Right.
Thank you for that feedback. Thank you very much for the feedback. So, another question is, what do you wish you would have covered that wasn't?
Wish we would have covered it.
That is a good question. You see, this it's a good process that we go through, and we need your guidance and all that. In the end, I think it's we need to stand on our own feet again. You know. We cannot always just come back to you and, hello, mommy, what should we do now? You know, that sort of thing. We need to stand on our own feet and be able to face life again on our own and do our own relationship things and all that. I don't want to be emotionally dependent on someone. So I think it's good that you have like a beginning and the end sort of thing, but it's also difficult. I've got to know you guys and I'm going to miss you. But it's not as if I need to say goodbye to you guys forever. I can still pick up the phone and call you and all that. But I think the point I'm trying to make is that you don't want to be emotionally dependent on somebody else, going forward. That's the point I'm trying to make. And I think that is good in this program, is that, there's a beginning and the end. The question is, how do I go forward now? And that's why I asked, are there books what I also wanted to know is further along the line, if I wanted to go through this process again, if I realize, look, there's still a thing or two I need to work through, can I do this again? Is that appropriate to redo the WIRE program just to make sure that I've swept all the corners of the room, that sort of thing, things that I missed before.
Yes, of course you can take it again. If that's what you want to do, you definitely can. The next time I'm offering the workshop is until September.
Okay.
Primarily because in what I've noticed over the years is that I don't really have people registered for classes that I offer over the summertime in the Northern Hemisphere. So the classes just weren't making. I've had one or two people who just really wanted to take the class, but I always wore, although it worked out great with the two of you this time. I think the reason why it worked out so great is you were both incredibly committed to the process. And some people are too afraid, to commit wholeheartedly like the two of you did.
And if you're not going to do something with your heart, you might as well just leave it. You don't do anything. What I'm going to do from now going forward is I'm going to read through the book again, and I'm going to listen to the recordings again, and I just want to make sure, because sometimes when you, this is a process, and in the start, there might be things that are more important to me, the building blocks at the bottom. can I say. Going forward, I know I need to get into relationships and things like that. Now, I'm busy progressing there, so that's going to be more important to me in future. So I might have more questions on that and so on. So therefore, I might like to call you sometime, in the near future or things about that, about those issues, you know, if I have questions about that.
No, it's not a matter of, you're done with the class, I can never talk to you again.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always here if you need me. You know, I've had people call me up, you know, sometimes a year or even after the class, just because they're going through something, you know, and they just want a little bit of extra oomph. So, we do
it. Yeah, and it's good to have, like people would say, a third opinion, you know. If I want something confirmed or whatever, I might think something, but, you know, sometimes being emotionally involved in something, you don't see the items that you don't see. And it's good to have a wing woman check you out, or, you know, just giving you sound advice. Giving you sound advice or something like that, you know.
Verlan, is there anything that you wish we would have covered that we didn't?
I can't think of anything. I thought it was very thorough. I think the building blocks in the book, you know, and then the ones that you chose to cover, you know, is in a session. I feel like anything is missing.
You see, Karen, I think this program covers so much that I still need to process, you know, a lot of the things. You hear what I'm saying? Like, and perhaps I've covered a lot of the things in depth. Where I am emotionally now and where I am in my recovery process. But in the near future, I might get to places where I haven't been before. And it's not that we haven't covered it. We've covered it. But like I say, maybe emotionally I haven't gone there and I haven't processed it or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. And it's possible to, you know, you can't, a recovery process like this, like we said, you cannot put a time limit on it, but, you know, it's not going to take you 3 months to work through a divorce. There's no way. Maybe somebody can do that, but then they are like a schizophrenic or somebody like that, you know. I don't know. You know, people that are not emotionally involved in you know, haven't been emotionally involved in their marriage, but if you properly work through this, it's going to take you some time. And that's it. So, but I feel happy that we've covered, you know, there are things that we've covered, I haven't even been there, you know, that sort of thing. And so I still need to go there.
You'll get there.
Yes, no, I will.
Well,
not in 3 months.
Yeah. You got really far, though. I mean, that's the message I want you both to hear loudly, is that you made tremendous progress over these 10 weeks. Tremendous.
And we had and we had direction now, where before, I mean, I feel like I can keep going and get through this because I have a path, you know.
Yeah.
Before, when I started, you know, I just didn't know, I just
stuck. I didn't even know where to begin.
Yeah, and you don't know, and you don't know what you're doing if it's the wrong or the right thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
So you might
right.
be, you might be doing the wrong thing, and then you start thinking, so why am I doing anything at all? Because, you know, it doesn't make any sense. But now it makes sense. So you must just continue down this path.
Another thing that was really important to me, especially in the beginning of the workshop and in reading the book, is that everything that I had been feeling and struggling with and trying, I was affirmed. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm normal. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not crazy. I'm not losing my mind. You know, what I'm experiencing is what a person who's going through this experiences. And that was so affirming to me. You know, because I thought I was losing my mind.
Yes.
Wow. I remember when you know, for a couple weeks in the beginning, you would come in and say, wow. You know, this is normal. I'm normal.
Yeah.
Well, then, one last question. I'm really pushing y'all tonight. Sorry about that. But I'm really curious, too, because I want to make sure that I let as many people as possible know what the benefits of taking this workshop are so they don't feel like they have to, you know, go it alone. You know, that there is something that they can do. And so, what would be one thing you tell someone who is thinking about taking this workshop?
Only one thing. I would tell them to do it immediately. If they're in the same situation that I had been. Because immediately I got direction, and like Valan says, you felt that you're not going crazy. You realize that you, and to me that was one of the most important things, Valan. I agree with you, is that you immediately realize that you actually, these feelings and emotions are normal,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going crazy, and there's actually hope. That's the thing, because in the beginning you're like in a situation where you feel hopeless, and this gives you hope. You need to have hope to carry on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hi, Lam. What's one thing you would tell someone who's thinking about taking the workshop?
You know, I'm very, very much in tune with what Yugo talked about, and I think that's probably the highlight for me. You know, feeling that you're okay. You know, you're more than okay. You're going through something, and it's hard, but you know, if other people have gone through it, and you're not alone. I think that experience of being connected with others, and not just us who are doing the workshop now, but you know, with others who have gone through this. So you hear that you're not just not alone. You're not alone going through it.
Yes. The other thing I want to add, maybe to my point there, Karen, after I'll give you just a chance to finish typing, and then.
Okay.
That way, when you say get in it immediately, I think because, yes, you'll get direction, but I think the reason I needed to get is in immediately is that you're actually going through a trauma, emotional trauma, and we don't realize that, right? We don't realize that you're actually being traumatized emotionally, and you need direction. And to me, this is, I can tell you, this is the worst experience I've had in my life. I mean, I've had operations. I've been in the army. I've seen people shot dead and things like that. My father died. This is not, to me, this is the worst thing that happened to me ever. Okay. So, it's a traumatic experience, and you need to acknowledge that you are being traumatized, and you need direction, and you need to work through this.
I have a story that I could read to you all. It's a little bit long. It'll probably take 10 minutes to get through. Do you want either Lori?
I'd like to.
Or do you just want to move on to homework? You go look for the story. Verlan, where are you?
I'm game.
Okay. All right. Then let me pull it out here. The story is from a book called Transitions, Making Sense of Life's Changes by William Bridges. There's a little quote at the beginning by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and it says, "Not in his goals, but in his transitions, man is great." Once upon a time, which is to say, right now, and from the beginning until the end, there was a very lovely young woman. She was, in fact, the loveliest woman in the whole kingdom. But although this was universally admitted, no one courted her. Others married and began families, but Psyche, for that was her name, seemed too perfect for any ordinary mortal. Psyche's parents finally sent to the great oracle at Delphi for an answer, and the answer came back. But when they heard it, they wept, for the oracle said that Psyche must die. Funeral used to be taken to a wild and desolate crag in the mountains on the far side of the kingdom. There, she was to be abandoned. Now, this story has lots of aside, or this is the first of the asides. In stories, you cannot ask why, for everything goes according to a plan, and that is patterned on life itself. What the oracle is saying is simply that no new context is possible without the exact lifetime to gain which you must first give up. So they dressed Psyche in funeral clothes and conducted her death rites and left her on the cold and windy mountaintop. As she lay there, numb with fear and sunken despair, Amor, the god of passion, came to her side, gazing on her perfection, and he himself fell in love with her. Quickly, he flew off to get the west wind, his helper, and to ask him to carry Psyche to hidden valleys beneath the mountaintops where Amor had a dark path. Thus it was that when she awoke, Psyche found herself in a mysteriously beautiful castle. Everything she knew was there. Food and drink, lovely clothing, perfume baths, everything but companionship. And then, when darkness fell, she found that she had that too, for Amor came to her in the darkness and slept with her. Night after night she did this. Sometimes they talked all night, sometimes they dined and fell asleep at once. Psyche could not have asked for more. She was happy at last. As always happens, an ending clears the ground for a new beginning. In this case, the person did little. Everything just happened. Some transitions are like that. They just happen. But when they happen this way, there's something missing. The outer situation has taken shape, but the inner state remains unchanged. The old outlook, the old self-image, the old value system remains intact. Outwardly, the change is complete, but the real transition process has hardly begun. In time, Psyche began to feel a strange incompleteness about her life. Everything is perfect. But she met her old friends and her family. This hidden palace was indeed beautiful, but it was also unreal. Outside the real world, outside time, outside human connection. She taught him this to her. She told him that she wished to see her family again. Could her sisters come and visit her, perhaps? Amor at first refused, but she longed so for contact with her family that he at last relented. They must come, he said, when he was away, and they must be gone before his return. She was delighted and promised to do as he said. The sisters came, carried by the same west wind that brought Psyche originally to this paradise. They were amazed and jealous. Who was the secret lover, they asked. Psyche did not know, of course, but she made up stories. She had never, in fact, seen him, since he only came in the darkness and never showed her his face. Psyche hid her ignorance as well as she could, but it was not long before her answers began contradicting each other. You don't even know what he looks like, cried the sisters. Why, he is probably a great beast that uses the darkness to hide his awful ugliness. You have been a fool. You have a wicked and loathsome animal for a lover. When they left, Psyche was desperate with confusion. He seemed like a gentle, loving person, but it was true that he had never let her see him. Her sister's suspicions filled her head, and she vowed to find out the truth for herself. Later that night, after he had fallen asleep, she crept out and found the candle and the knife. She would steal it, look at him, and if he were the terrible creature who his sister said he must be, she would stab him. She lit the candle in the hall and tiptoed up to the bed where he slept. Resting the candle in one hand and the knife in the other, she leaned over his bed. There he lay, the handsomest of girls, Amor, her lover. In her excitement, her hand trembled and hot wax fell to the sleeping dog's shoulder. He woke. In a moment, he saw what she had done, and he told her that, having broken the rule of darkness, she would never henceforth see him again. Suddenly, he was gone. In fact, he was alone, stunned by what she had done and its effect. In the everyday world of fact, agreements are meant to be kept. But in the world of myth, everything happens for a reason and points towards some further end. Losses happen because it is time to let go of that way of being connected. Psyche had lived in the darkness for long enough, and it was now time to see. Yet the change was a violation of the old rules, and it destroyed the old situation. It was time for her to change, to grow, and deepen, to take responsibility for who and where she was. It was time for the inner changes to catch up with the outer ones. So Psyche left the palace, where she had been so happy, and began a lonely journey in search of her lost lover. In her grief, she called upon the gods for help. And one of them, the great Aphrodite, answered, "You seek my son," she said, for she was the mother of Amor. "But I think you are not strong enough to do what must be done." Psyche said that that was not so. She could do anything. "Very well. You must first complete 4 difficult tasks," said Aphrodite. "First, you must sort out this room full of seeds, putting each type of seed in a separate pile in a single night." She threw open a door, and there Psyche saw a large room piled high with all kinds of seeds, jumbled together in one immense heap. She gasped at the impossibility of the task, and Aphrodite continued without a pause. "Second, you must go to the field where the fire-breathing rams and the golden fleece live, and bring me back some of that fleece." Psyche was stunned, for those rams killed anyone who entered their field. "And third," Aphrodite said before Psyche had time to recover, "you must bring me back a goblet of water from the great river, the River Styx, that plunges off the inaccessible cliffs and into the underworld." She looked at Psyche, amused at the hopeless look on the mortal's face. "And finally," she said, "you must go down into hell itself and ask Persephone for a little box of her magic ointment that enhances one's beauty miraculously. Get it and bring it back to me." And having said that, Aphrodite vanished. Psyche was stunned. Sadly, she opened the door and gazed at her first task. The pile of seeds was higher than her head, and it covered the floor of a good-sized room. She bent over and picked up a handful of seeds, little ones, big ones, dark ones, light ones. No one could possibly bring order to this confusion in a year of sorting, and she had one night. The enormity of her task overcame her, and she sank down weeping at the edge of the pile. Feebly, she picked over a handful or two, but she was weary and depressed, and soon she fell asleep. The first time her life had changed, Psyche was quite passive. It all just happened to her. Now, however, she was ready to act. But the task They were impossible ones. She tried to do them, but then she had to give up. And when she did, she discovered that. As she slept, a vast army of ants came into the room. On the command of their leader, they began the sorting. All night, they swarmed over the huge pile, and gradually it melted away until in its place were a dozen smaller piles of wheat and rye and beans and mustard seeds. At sunrise, Aphrodite suddenly threw open the door and woke the sleeping Psyche. Both of them gasped in amazement to see the sorting done. Psyche said nothing, and Aphrodite said only, "You have three more tasks." With the golden fleece and the water from the Styx, some of the things happened. Just as she was about to give up hope of getting the fleece, the reeds that grew by the river whispered to her that if she would wait until sunset, when the rams retreat to their night's rest, she could creep up to the edge of the field and find bits of the fleecy treasure on the bushes. And just as she was about to abandon hope of getting a goblet of Styx water, a great eagle flew down from the heaven and took the vessel from her hand and filled it from the torrent far above her head. Aphrodite was startled each time by Psyche's success, but she only said, "We'll see how you do with the journey to the underworld." What are the ants and the reeds and the eagle? Why does something appear to help Psyche each time she has given up hope? The helpful creature is a common element in folklore and dreams, and it corresponds to some instinctive and sub-rational level of insight and energy. The tasks of transition are not, it seems, of the sort that one can consciously set out to accomplish. But neither are they taken care of in the automatic fashion of Psyche's original and outer transition on the mountaintop. Now she must struggle and even exhaust herself before help arrives. Almost as though it is only when one is at the end of one's resources that new and hitherto unsuspected powers appear. But how is she to get to the underworld, survive the dangers of that region, and come back with her treasure? As she is on the verge of giving up, a tower near which she is standing begins to speak to her and gives her instructions. Bring coins to pay for her passage across the Styx. Carry sweet cakes to pacify the guardian animals and resist all requests from anyone for help. So off she goes. The coins and cakes are simple enough, but it is difficult for her to receive entreaties of the poor man whose donkey has dropped part of his load, or the woman who needs assistance with her weaving, or the dying man who calls pitifully after her for succor. Shutting out the sad calls from those in need, Psyche pushes onward and downward. This journey no one can make for her. She alone can make it, and in spite of temptations to abandon her errand, she succeeds. Thank goodness for the tower and its counsel. A talking tower, refusing to help those in need, a journey to the end of the world, what is this all about? Well, the most significant transitions, sort of inner change that Psyche is dealing with, involve a time to tell. You go down before you come up, and most of these journeys must be taken alone. All of our habits of caring for others and seeing ourselves as people who would care for others become self-defeating. We need to resist the old impulses to take care of others and instead to pay attention during this time to what we are doing and why we are doing it. We are going where we have to go if we are to do the God's bidding. Having left behind the life that we have outgrown, we must continue the transition process to find our new life. And the tower? Why, after all the previous help from insects and birds and growing things, does this aid come from a human construct and an inanimate structure? It seems that in the end, one needs that kind of assistance, that one's own deeper and unconscious resources are essential, but that can stop short of the goal. When one is going down the dark path into hell, some conscious plans must be made. The result is paradoxical, as was my urging you to trust your own inner processes, and then my advice on what to do, so be it. The fact is that both are essential, and that in dark times, one may have little but that dimly remembered advice to go on. It would be nice to say that Amar was waiting when Psyche reappeared, but he was not. In fact, things took an apparently bad turn at this point. Back in the land of the living, Psyche looked indecisively at the box of magic ointment in her hand. She was tempted to open the box. Anything so valuable must be wonderful. Why should Aphrodite get it all? So she opened it, but the power of the content was too much for a mortal, and Psyche was overcome and collapsed. Everything in a mist points to a purpose, and just as early impulse to peek at her secret lover led to her quest and to a new level of awareness, so this peek opens up immense power. That is always how it is in the wilderness of the neutral zone. One encounters their forms of energy and insight that are life-transforming, but also just barely supportable. That is one reason why the old rituals were so important. For like the tower, they gave direction and reassurance. For without it, one is caught in fearful places that make no sense. So Psyche is not just overly curious when she lifts the lid of her treasure from the underworld. She is making the final step in becoming aware of herself and getting power for the new status and phase of her life. For as with all people after important life transitions, she is going to be different. No sooner had she fallen to the ground than Amor appeared and picked up the limp form and carried her up to Olympus. There, after due deliberation, Psyche was made immortal. She and Amor were married, and they lived there happily ever after. Or until the next major life transition, whichever came first.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah, I hope you see all the beautiful symbolism in that story and the course and the trials and tribulations that you've each been through in your divorce recovery process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I can see that. Yeah.
Well, my dear friends, it's time for your homework assignment. And this homework is for the rest of your life.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Step one, love yourself. Step two, be your own best friend. The third, feel your feelings and listen to your heart. The next, tell the truth as lovingly as possible and don't be attached to the outcome. And finally, build strong and healthy friendships where you can give and receive love and be comfortable being yourself.
Good advice.
Well, the only thing you have left is serenity prayer. Since we've already had tons of gratitude, I figure we can skip that.
Yeah.
I like the homework. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Real
good homework. I agree.
It's not always easy to remember that homework, but I do think it's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, are y'all ready for the serenity prayer?
Yes. Yes.
God
grant the serenity of the things
that
I can
not
change. God grant the things I can
and
wisdom to know the difference. Yeah.
Congratulations, y'all. You have made it through the entire wire workshop. Great work.
Wow. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Doctor. Thank you, Yuga.
Karen.
Well, just think, y'all. Next Thursday night, you'll be getting your normal night's sleep.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say thanks to both of you all, and it was so nice, the land to meet you and to go through this whole process with you, and I really appreciated you. And Karen, I don't know how to put it in words or to thank you in words. I feel so much better, and I really appreciate your guidance and your caring and your the sound advice. I don't know what I would have done without it. I'm so much better off now for having both, you know, for having known and interacted with both of you, I'm so much better off. So I say thank you to both of you, and I wish you all of the best of a land. I hope I hope you recover fully very soon, and I know I'm going to work on my recovery, and I know I'm going to be better in future. And Karen, I just wish you all prosperity, and I wish you lots of customers, and I know you're going to do well, because you like what you're doing, and I can see that you're good at what you're doing, because you enjoy, so you get satisfaction out of what you're doing. So I wish both of you all of the best.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's it from me. I really enjoyed this, and maybe sometime in future I'll contact both of you. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Hugo. And Karen, thank you. First time I talked to you back in January, I knew that I was led to something that would really be able to help me, and I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I want you guys to know I just held the space open for you. You guys did all the hard work. Please feel really good about yourself
for
all that work you did.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think, you know, it's a two-sided coin thing, you know. We have to do the work, but we also need to know what to do, and that is what you've given us, right? So we need to have the willingness, the commitment to work, and you need to give us the advice and the direction, you know, and you've done excellent. Thanks. Thanks so much.
You're very, very welcome. Well, I wish a lifetime of blessings on both of you, and I'm looking forward to at least getting emails out every now and then. Tell me how you're doing and what you're up to. If not,
sure. Sure. Okay.
We'll do that.
Okay.
We'll do that. Okay, guys. I'm going to go to sleep now again. I have another hour and a half to sleep before I need to stand up because of the, what do they call it? The time war. Let's call it the time war. Okay.
I imagine it's not like that. Well, sweet dreams, y'all.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.